sex fans, welcome back. Today is Wednesday, May 13th, 2009, and you are lucky enough to be listening to the podcast edition of Dr. Dick's Sex Advice with an Edge.
Go fuck off! You owe me rent!
Perhaps I'm not the bugger you're looking for. I am, though, your host, that savagely scintillating sexologist, Dr. Dick. We're back at Seattle's premier dungeon with the exciting and dangerous Lady Lydia, the nationally renowned, respected dominatrix and educator. This is a sex education podcast, don't you know? In this series, we look at the world of fetish sex, kink, and alternative sexual lifestyles. We investigate topics both familiar and exotic, and we chat with prominent educators, practitioners, and advocates of unconventional sexual expressions and lifestyles from all over the world. If you somehow missed part one of this interesting and oh-so-edgy conversation, check out podcast 120 on Dr. Dick's podcast page. You'll find a tab to that page at the top of my site, drdicksexadvice.com, or simply use my site's search function. Type in podcast number 120, and don't forget the pound sign. Be sure to visit Lady Lydia at her website, seattledungeon.com, for more heart-stopping images and information.
Yes. Yes, Jeanette is 22. She has a full but firm 36-24-36 figure and offers a full personal service. You will like her.
I'm sure I'll like her. But listen, I have to wait until the show is over. Today's podcast is sponsored by the granddaddies of male masturbation toys, the amazing Fleshlight and Fleshjack. For those of you who have never seen one of these brilliant devices, let me describe it to you. It looks like a huge flashlight. Thus the clever names, don't you know? Inside the durable plastic case, there's a soft, fleshy inside called Super Skin. And trust me, this stuff is aptly named. It's phenomenal. But that's just the beginning. What makes Fleshlight and Fleshjack so freaking amazing is that you get to design and personalize just about every aspect of the unit you purchase. Now, what other toy company allows you to do that? Not sure you know what in Sam hell I'm talking about? Well, then it's high time for you to mosey on over to either the Fleshlight or Fleshjack site and make the discovery on your own. Look for the banners on the sidebar of drdicksexadvice.com. You'll be so glad you did. And ladies, here's a tip. This is the perfect gift for your man. You know how I keep talking about the mutual joys and the important information shared when a couple masturbates together, right? Well, this is the ideal masturbation toy for him. Check it out and see for yourself. I know you will agree, nothing beats a Fleshlight. Okay, on with the show. Welcome back, Lady Lydia, and thank you again for allowing me to join you here in your dungeon. It is an amazing place, sex fans. You could only see it, and you can on her site. But more about that in a bit. I'd like to pick up where we left off, Lydia, last time, and talk about the role of endorphins and adrenaline in power play. What do you have to say about that?
Well, endorphins and adrenaline occur in any kind of sex act. They're two of the chemicals that get you all hot and sweaty and turned on and make you want to do the whole act all over again. The coming part helps, too. But the endorphins and adrenaline certainly help. And BDSM, even more so. We get the endorphins and adrenaline going long before we've touched or looked at a genital most of the time. Mm-hmm. Endorphins are nature's natural painkiller, and adrenaline is basically your fight or flight response to pain or fear. But if you can't do anything about it and you really want to be there and somebody's tied you up to a bench and you picked out the implements, you're kind of stuck, but the adrenaline still goes because mm-hmm. your body knows that it needs to survive. Mm-hmm. So the adrenaline will come out, mm-hmm. and a lot of subs love the adrenaline. Mm-hmm. And as a top, I get the adrenaline too. Mm-hmm. Because society tells me that I'm not to hit people. Mm-hmm. I'm supposed to be a nice, pretty little girl and not mm-hmm. bother anybody. Mm-hmm. And in the meantime, I'm cracking a whip across somebody's back or breasts or feet or whatever it is I'm swinging it at. So I get a little of the adrenaline as well.
Mm-hmm.
And the next thing you know, the endorphins and adrenaline are playing with the neurochemicals and some serotonin and dopamine comes out and they go into subspace, which is basically a condition where they're rubberized. I think that's about the best way to put it. They've turned into a little gel pack of human and are happy to follow through with anything you want them to do, which is why you negotiate everything in advance. Because when they're in subspace, you no longer ask them what they would like to try, because they'll most likely say, okay. Which isn't valid, because they probably don't know what they're answering.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to play with them in subspace and move with them and bring them through to the other side in as safe as a manner as you can figure out, depending on what your implements are.
Is it fair to assume that you have been both dom and sub?
No. But there, I suspect I know why you're asking that. I've done a lot of fetish modeling, so I'm out there all over the internet and in a variety of magazines and videos in roles that people consider submissive. I like it. It's fun.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm certainly not submissive. I never enter subspace. I see it oftentimes more as a fun little challenge.
Uh-huh.
And I'm also a bit old school in my domination in that I pretty much will refuse to do something to somebody unless I've experienced it myself.
Interesting.
I want to know what they're going to feel. Plus, it plays into my sadism a little bit. You can hit somebody with something, but unless you personally, physically know what that feels like, I don't think you get the same response within yourself.
No kidding. Now, that's an interesting. That's the first time I've heard that in this series, and I think that's so fascinating, and I think that's really what I've been trying to get to through this question is, because people have asked me a lot on my site, in how do I become a really good top? How do I become a really good bottom? Most of that is in terms of fucking or ass fucking or whatnot. And I said, probably the best tops are the ones who have bottomed from time to time.
Mm-hmm.
The best bottoms are those who can top from time to time. Mm-hmm. Because both of those things, topping and bottoming, expect different things from us, and we're expected to perform in different sorts of ways, and without knowing what your partner is having to put him or herself through in order to be the accomplished top or bottom, I think we miss something.
I agree. I just don't think, unless you've experienced something yourself, you really don't know what you're doing with someone else.
Right.
And I was kind of raised up in domination by some leathermen, bless them, wherever they may be now. And a lot of leathermen have very high protocols.
Mm-hmm.
And to become a sir or a daddy, you first have to be a boy or a bottom.
Mm-hmm. And that's where I was going to go next, because that's the old school was that, I mean, you didn't come out the chute as a top or a daddy or a dom or a top.
Even if you obviously and certainly are, which is pretty much me, I'm pretty much a top, if you don't know what you're doing, you gotta try it.
That's right. That's amazing. Good. You clearly have a preference then, as you've articulated so well, for being a top, but what I'd like to know is there a different kind of high associated with each role? And you mentioned this briefly in terms of the adrenaline rush of, you know, being someone different than what society expects you to be, the charming, sweet young thing.
Mm-hmm. But there's one thing that you hear a lot about is subspace and where people go and the endorphins and adrenaline associated. Mm-hmm. A lot of times you don't hear about the top space.
Right.
And I've played with lots of subs who have tons of experience who don't understand that not only do they need aftercare, but the top does
good.
There's a lot of, if I get to play like I like to play, I will get into this, I won't hear any music, people could talk to me and I won't hear them. I am completely and totally focused on whatever it is I'm doing, and it is very hard to get me out of that once I get going.
Mm-hmm.
And in the meantime, I have to remember the person's limits,
right,
and needs, and check to make sure they're not going to go into shock. Small details, and try to maintain my space. I have this very light but very focused sense that I get once I get into that space.
Mm-hmm.
And afterwards, I can be so exhausted that I could lay down and mm-hmm. go to sleep right then. It's like mm-hmm. I've expended every ounce of emotional mm-hmm. and physical energy I have in that moment, mm-hmm. and I am done. And I'm not one of those people that can lay down and go to sleep. I go a million miles an hour all the time. I don't lay down ever and mm-hmm. go to sleep. But after a very intense session,
yeah.
I'm out.
Yeah. Interesting, because in the first couple of segments of this series, Sex Education, I've talked to leather men, basically, who talk to us about and define terms like scene and negotiation mm-hmm. and safe word and aftercare. And so if anybody is missing this vocabulary now, we can go back to Scott Daddy or Dart's discussion in this series. Anyhow, how does somebody bring you out of your top space? I mean, what does one do? Does one touch you, cuddle with you, or this?
Oh, generally, my main partner will get me a cup of tea or a glass of water, and oftentimes all I need is just to sit and have her sit at my feet uh-huh. and just lean against me. I'm not really a big cuddler.
Uh-huh.
And I'm not very good at aftercare either. So anybody listening to this might want to know that in advance. Sometimes the aftercare is, okay, you deal with it now. I'm going to go this way.
uh-huh.
There's this person over here I need to whip, so have at it. It's
uh-huh.
So yeah, so I try a little. I it depends. I remember, I have to remind myself, I guess is the proper way to say it, that I need to take care of the person once mm-hmm. I'm done playing with mm-hmm. them, because I've gotten in trouble for that mm-hmm. a few times.
Mm-hmm.
And
you probably need to remind yourself that you need to take care of yourself as well?
Right, yes.
I suspect that those of us in the healing and helping profession, and I think this is it, that you are in a helping profession.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's not traditionally understood as such, but I think so. I think you're doing a great service. And sometimes we fail to take care of ourselves as good as we ought to.
Mm-hmm.
And
yes, we forget to take days off.
That's right, right. And relax and regroup. And because this is psychologically challenging. I can sense it by just being here and being in your company. And I know this is a challenging kind of thing, and without regrouping and without caring for oneself, I think one could go astray or get burnt out.
Yes, you can get burnt out. I try to make sure that I monitor the number of sessions I do in a week. I like to give every client my focus and my energy, and if I am too tired or if I am burnt out or I just don't want to be here,
mm-hmm.
then that it'll show. They'll know.
Right.
So I try to do my best
right.
to be present for them. I
right.
think it's the least I can do
right.
since this is the service I'm providing.
Exactly. Many power players speak in terms of BDSM as being both recreational and cathartic. Do you agree with that, first of all? And if you do, could you elaborate a bit?
Yes, I do. One of the things I really like, and that I believe lots of my clients like, because they say it regularly, is they needed the break.
Mm-hmm.
And by that they mean they get to come here for an hour, for 2 or 3 hours, and they turn their cell phones off. They are in a completely different dress than they normally would be in, or nothing at all.
Mm-hmm.
They may not even have their same name. Sometimes we use different names. They are a totally different person and being,
mm-hmm.
and they get a mini vacation in the middle of their stressful world from
mm-hmm.
whatever their legal obligations or business obligations or family obligations. They get to
mm-hmm.
come here and they are out of it.
Mm-hmm.
Out of it.
Mm-hmm. Cheaper than jetting off to Maui.
Cheaper than jetting off to Maui. It's you can't
more
just
convenient.
Go, you can't just go climb Rainier at the drop of
that's
a hat.
True.
There's
true.
And lots of my clients do stuff like that too.
Right.
But that But you can't just take a couple hours out of your day and do that.
Mm-hmm.
It takes a couple hours drive to Rainier.
Right.
So this gives them that break, and it fulfills one of the needs that they often don't get in their regular life, which is the fulfillment of their fantasy or their kink.
That's right. Good, good, good.
Oh, and cathartic.
Yes.
Some people do have little breakthroughs. Like, I have several clients who we work on little things because fear of small places or fear of being tied up or the fear of drowning. And we will have little, every so often we'll have a little breakthrough with something, and they'll have a moment where all of a sudden they realize they had forgotten about being afraid of being in the dark box.
Mm-hmm.
And they were laughing with me about something I was saying.
Interesting.
And then we work on that.
Cool. Most of the power players that I've interviewed for this series and people that I know personally and professionally, particularly the professional ones who are professional doms or professional subs, make it a point to distinguish between their BDSM play and their sex life. Is this the same for you?
Oh, yes. It's I don't have sex with clients. That's a big myth out there. And I'm sure somebody does somewhere, but I don't know her or him. There is, if you throw sex in, it becomes more of a vanilla act. And what I'm here to provide is a way to express a fantasy or a kink.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not here to express sex. People can generally get that
at least
just about anywhere.
Sex.
Genital sex. Yes, not the traditional form of sex, I guess I should say. But there's, I do brain sex, and I do all kinds of other things, but I don't do penis, vagina, or vagina sex.
Right.
We don't do that. That's with my partner.
Right. So, I know that people are visiting your site from last week, and I know that your site is chock full of very explicit images, and a lot of the images involve nudity.
Mm-hmm.
And interestingly enough, I don't see you nude, just your clients nude. And so where is that line? I mean, those who are unfamiliar with this whole territory would say, well, if you know the client is nude, probably it's they're having sex.
Mm-hmm. Well, one of the great things about my job is I get to see lots of naked people.
that's a double-edged sword.
Yes, it is. It is. It is. But it's part of the fantasy. It's part of a way to knock people out of their regular headspace. Our clothes are protection.
Ah.
We put on clothes and we can be a different person. We put on a suit and we go in and we are a corporate executive or a financial advisor and we can negotiate a contract. Come here, the suit comes off. And they're naked, and then they have a collar on or a hood, and all of a sudden their personality is taken away because their face isn't even exposed.
Wow.
It's a way of creating different layers of vulnerability and ways of getting into people's headspaces.
Mm-hmm.
And it's one of the reasons they're naked is because it makes it really hard to do cock and ball torture if they're clothed. It can happen, but it's really challenging. And I really like to see what I'm doing, and I'm very... I'm a tactile player, and I'm very visual. I'm a visual learner.
Mm-hmm.
And since I play very hard, I need to know how their skin is reacting, and I'll
right.
feel them, and then I can know, are they sweaty and clammy, or are they sweaty and hot? Now, are they shaking because their adrenaline is up, or are they shaking because they're about to pass out? Like, I touch them, and I watch their skin, and so I can figure out where they are in play, and if I need to move them, or if they're fine, or
mm-hmm.
I do that. But then you'll also see pictures of me topless on my site.
Is that right? I guess I did see that, kind of think of it. That's right. A lot of this stuff, the images that I've seen, you're in fetish gear,
mm-hmm.
fetish wear,
mm-hmm.
and stuff like that. So that only heightens the
Many
kind
times.
Of thing.
Yes.
I love the whole shoe thing.
Mm-hmm.
I love it. I think it's so fascinating. This is every woman's fantasy job to have fabulous shoes.
Yes. I have no idea how many pairs of shoes I own.
And walk on men with them.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Go girls.
Well, the reason that you'll see me topless is so I can...
Okay,
so,
go,
because people
yes.
don't think it's sex. There's... I think that the female form is very, very beautiful. I love looking at women myself. And I think that for me, sometimes exposing my breasts or doing something mm-hmm. is not only a reward for a client.
Interesting.
But sometimes I'll do it during a moment of intense pain, and they'll know my top is off, but they're so busy cringing from the pain, their eyes are so shut that they can't even enjoy it.
Uh-huh.
So it gives it an extra level of torture.
Mm.
So
interesting.
That's why I do that.
No wonder you've been at this so long. Holy cow. Do you play with both men and women? I think we know the answer to that, but the answer is yes.
Yes,
right?
Yes. Men, women, and transgendered
okay.
people.
And could you, is there something different going on with you when you're working with a different one gender as opposed to the others?
I probably salivate a little bit more if it's women.
Get out, really?
Well, that would be a personal detail because I'm
right.
queer,
ah.
so I'm a lesbian. So there's
no
there's that aspect. It's harder to keep my hands off the women, mm. but there's but
she's a lipstick lesbian.
Yes, I'm high femme. But yeah, I
love it.
I will hurt anybody. I'm equal opportunity.
I love it.
And I absolutely love playing with men. We have the best time. We just do.
Yeah. Well, you know, I felt that immediate connection with Tracy and Allison too, and they're a queer couple. And I mean, if I'm going to be beat up by somebody, I want it to be. That's just my choice in the matter. There you go. So, a little self awkwardly disclosing information to Dr. Dick. There you go. Is it safe to assume that you don't play with every Tom, Dick, or Mary that approaches you? And if so, how do you discern between the ones that you encourage and the ones that you discourage?
You're correct. I don't play with anyone who approaches me. That would be very unsafe. I get hundreds and hundreds of emails a day, and half of them are disrespectful, and they immediately go into a trash bin.
Right.
But there's mostly I will respond well to people who contact me in a polite manner.
Right.
They don't have to know all the language and etiquette.
Right.
Some of the people that go in the trash bin are because they're so busy putting me into a role, into a scene,
right.
before I've agreed to even see them,
no
that I trash their email.
Right.
I just don't. I really appreciate a nice letter.
Mm-hmm.
It's before the internet, people would send me mail.
Uh-huh.
And I would get really nice letters. And it would give just a brief overview of what their
right.
fantasy was. And say thank you for reading. And I just really appreciate manners.
Mm-hmm.
Manners are the best thing.
Yeah. I again, this is universal for all the people that I've spoken to so far, and they just want to be approached in a respectful sort of way, and that they are not machines.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I see that you flog really nicely. Will you flog me? Here's a quarter. Flog me. It's an interesting kind of thing. So you just touched on this briefly. Maybe we can go a little bit deeper. Say a rank amateur and doesn't have a clue about the correct vocabulary or the subculture etiquette, and he didn't or she didn't know where to start, but knew for certain that he or she had a sub streak and wanted to investigate this. Would you be someone that this person could approach?
Oh, easily. I see lots of new people,
mm-hmm.
and it's usually pretty evident that they've never contacted someone like me before,
mm-hmm.
and which I always find a little amusing, and it's fun to play with their nervousness.
Mm-hmm.
So that's always fun, but I really appreciate it. Just a nice letter. You think back to when we all learned how to write a letter in elementary school,
mm-hmm.
and you write, "Dear ma'am, I've had this fantasy for many years. I see that you may do X, Y, and Z.
Uh-huh.
Thank you for your time. I may be available on these days. My best."
Oh,
it's
see?
Just
it's,
a very
it's just that. So they don't necessarily have to know all the lingo and stuff like that. Because I hear again from a lot of people that said, you know, I would really like to investigate this, but I don't want to look like an idiot.
Mm-hmm.
And most all the people that I've interviewed so far in this series said, well, I'm not looking for somebody who knows, you know, the proper things to say. It's just respect.
Yes.
Again.
Yes.
Good.
The people who immediately get deleted are people who use words like sweetie, honey, baby, darling, hi, baby, I like BDSM, you do too, contact me at this number. And then they don't leave a name, and I'm not going to call them back.
Dear, I love it. And I know this is your favorite question of them all. Do you have any sexual heroes?
The first time I heard this one, I laughed out loud. I imagine a person riding in, like almost like somebody in the Avengers in a nice slick cat suit with a cape. sexual heroes. I've always appreciated women's history, and I've done a lot of research around it. I really appreciate women like Lydia Thompson, mm-hmm. who, before women could even own property, ran her own burlesque troupe. Lydia Thompson's amazing British blonde bombshells, or something such, which none of which were British or blonde. Mm-hmm. They wore wigs. but she ran her own burlesque troupe, and she couldn't even own her own house mm-hmm. at the time. And they did really well. They were one of the most popular troupes around.
Yeah.
I really like women like Dixie Evans, who was the Marilyn Monroe of burlesque in her time. Mm-hmm. And she started the Exotic Heritage Museum, and which is kind of a burlesque hall of fame that she started in the desert, and I think 4 double wides, and just a fabulous place where she collected her own and her friends' history, and they presented female sexuality in a way that made people stop and pay them for that pleasure, and they were just very strong, self-driven women. Also women like Annie Sprinkle, of course, Carol Queen.
Yes.
Women like that. They're just fabulous personalities, unapologetic. Sexual beings who are some of the nicest people you'll ever meet. And then I always have to add in the Leathermen, because I've learned a lot from Leathermen over the years. And I hold a very nice little spot in my heart for them.
Yes.
It's just an amazing group of sexual beings who are also quite unapologetic for who they are.
Right. Yes. I'm in awe of them as well. Would you be up for sharing something of your personal life besides the stuff that you've already mentioned? Do you afford yourself a personal life, first of all?
I try to afford myself a personal life. What are you interested in?
You mentioned that you're a lesbian,
mm-hmm.
Like polyamory, is that part of your life?
No
kidding. A kink that you've missed?
Yes. not that I haven't done it, but my partner and I are monogamous sexually.
Mm-hmm.
We obviously play with other people,
right.
I mean, more so, cause I'm just like that, and always will be, but she's much less so, and but we save our genital organs for one another.
Right.
So yeah, monogamous kink dom.
Interesting. That surprised me too in chatting with the other doms so far, that they're very popular, they're internationally known, they play with lots and lots of people, but they're sexually exclusive with a partner.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting, very
mm-hmm.
interesting. Again, to underscore what we talked about last week about the differentiation between power play and sexuality, or genital sexuality, anyhow.
Yes. And there, what else do? I also do, I have dogs. I have 4 dogs, terriers.
No kidding. Oh, cool.
So I
love a dog lover.
I love dogs. I think I'm crazy for having 4 terriers. Other than that, they're great. But they involve lots of walking and stuff, which helps me stay in shape.
Yeah.
Snake, fish, and frogs. So I have lots of animals.
Mm.
My partner is 100% against me having chickens, and the terriers would probably kill them anyway, so probably okay, I don't have chickens. Mm. And I like to garden.
Mm.
which some people think I should have a sub do, but then I wouldn't, I wouldn't get to do it, which would take away all the fun.
Uh-huh.
So I like to watch things grow, and sometimes I grow them and then watch them die, which I also like. So
yeah.
That's it.
And for those in our audience who will not be able to get to my site to see pictures of you or even visit your site, you are a very attractive woman.
Thank you.
And I could say that if we were meeting in the Safeway or, you know, at the ballpark, no one would know that you are the special person you are.
No, oftentimes people don't. I've been an opera member for 14 years, and they don't know. And, yeah, no, people don't know. And they often don't know I'm gay either. Sometimes annoying.
Yeah. Hmm. So I'd like to turn our attention to one area of special interest to me as a therapist, and I often hear from kinksters and pervs, as well as your run-of-the-mill gay and lesbian folk, that they are often frustrated in their search for sex-positive and kink-positive healing and helping professionals. I suppose that you're equally attuned to this pressing concern. Yes?
Yes. There are tons, or at least 100 or so, therapists out there who say they're sex positive.
Yes.
And say that they're open to hearing about whatever somebody has in their life. And people get there, and they certainly are not okay with whatever comes out.
Yeah.
And they may not overtly say it, but you can tell they're not objective, and you can tell in their body language and the questions
they
ask that they are completely ignorant.
Yeah.
And so it turns into a client paying the therapist to educate the therapist on what their kink.
Or even abuse them.
Right.
For who they are.
And it's it happens the same with sex workers as well.
Yes.
It's even when years ago my mother passed away of cancer, and I wanted to go to a bereavement therapy just because, you know, it's really painful. And I didn't feel like I could talk about it with many people at the time, and I felt like my partner's probably sick of it, so I wanted to go see it there. It was very difficult as a sex worker, as a queer person, and as a kinky person to find somebody who could listen.
True.
And I did. I found a brilliant woman, but it was work.
Yes.
It was work.
It sure is. It certainly is. And I feel the same way because I do a lot of work with death and dying. That's my other great passion in life. And I've had opportunities to involve myself with other people in that line of work. And when they find out that I am also Dr. Dick and that I'm a sex positive person and or queer person, and it can be, that would be the end.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, have we not learned anything from, you know, our notions of mortality that this is getting in the way?
Well, so, some of them might as well be practicing in Victorian times.
It's true.
Really, it's amazing.
It's so true. And it's also, you know, for healing professionals, you know, somebody comes into a doctor's office and, you know, full of bruises and or welts and whatnot, immediately the mind, you know, the doctor's mind goes to, this is abusive, and without even asking any questions about that.
So we do have a couple of places around now that are good for that.
There's good.
I guess the new Capitol Hill Clinic is staffed by kinky, certainly sex positive gay men.
Oh, good.
And hopefully they're looking for a woman to hire, too.
Oh, good.
Yeah. Fabulous boys.
Good. So before we conclude, can you give us your web address and walk us around a bit and let us know what we can find there?
Yes, my web address is seattledungeon.com. And you'll find tons of information about me, a little history, ideas of ways I play, lots of pictures about what's in my dungeon, and my availability. You'll find DVDs and photo sets, and if you search around, there's even additional photos. If you read the fine print, you'll find little secret photos. So there's all kinds of stuff, and a link to a journal page and different stuff.
Mm-hmm. And we can buy the DVDs on your site, yes?
Yes, you certainly can.
That'd be good. Well, Lydia, Lady Lydia, thank you so much for your being so generous with your precious time. We are all the richer for the experience.
You're very welcome. It was
and
a pleasure.
Thank you for inviting me to your dungeon. I'm I feel so privileged. because I sense that lots of good things happen here, and some not so good.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
Thank you again, and we will be seeing you in cyberspace. Bye now.
Bye.
Pretty great show, huh? Well, that's it for today, sex fans. Tune in next week for more sex advice with an edge with your host, me, Dr. Dick. Again, this week's podcast sponsor is Fleshlight and Fleshjack. Say, guys, have you been looking for the perfect gift for yourself? A gift that will give you hours of fun and pleasure and never run out of batteries? Well, I have just the thing for you. Once you've tried a Fleshlight, you'll never settle for second best. You know, all you guys out there who keep complaining to me about your short fuse, well, here's a tip. Being a great lover, being able to control your orgasmic response and lasting for as long as you would like, takes practice. Sure, you can learn to last longer simply using your hand, but now there's an even more effective way to train yourself for sexual stamina and endurance with a partner. Allow me to introduce you to the Endurance Jack. It's just one of the fine designs from Fleshlight. It comes with a stamina insert, which has extra large bumps and a tight canal. This is just the thing to practice with. It'll help you train yourself to last longer, to gain control over your ejaculatory response, and avoid untimely climax. Once you accomplish this with the Endurance Jack, you will have all the skills you need to last and last with a partner. And remember, these fine products are made in the good old U.S. of A. Look for the links to these amazing resources right there on the sidebar of DrDicksSexAdvice.com.
Executive fun for the over 40s. Kinky, but not cruel. Why not pop down?
Okay, I think I will. Be sure to look for all of my podcasts on iTunes. Once in the podcast section, all you have to do is search for Dr. Dick's Sex Advice. Don't forget to subscribe, and when you do, feel free to leave a comment. Until next week, remember, sex is good. And good sex? Well, that's even better. Over and out.